Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Carla Campbell. I want to say welcome, welcome, welcome to Shout, Sisterhood, Holding On Ultimately to Truth. And today, which is actually my fourth week with you guys, I believe it's my fourth. And so I was contemplating on, you know, what my topic would be today, because there's so much going on in our world and so much going on in our country, in our communities. And so I took the time out to really sit down to think about where I wanted to go today. And I'm trying to maintain a sense of hope, a sense of optimism, and believing that things will and can get better. And so I know that we are looking at the crisis that's going on in this country with regards to police brutality and all of the chaos that's going on in our nation. And the first thing I thought about was, okay, well, wait a minute, what am I doing? Because I have no control of anyone else. I have no control of what's going on around me. I only have control of what I do. And so with that being said, I thought about my experiences this week and the questions that we ask ourselves as human beings and as spiritual beings. You know, what is it that, why? What are the questions that we have of who we are and what we are? And so I decided to talk about that tonight with you, to have that discussion with you. I know some of you, it is 7 o'clock in the evening on the East Coast, and then there are those of us here, Mountain Time, where the sun is just starting to set, and some of us are having dinner, some of us may be out on the road, some of us may be spending time with family and settling in for the evening. And so I come before you with a question. And as I thought about this question, which is a very rhetorical question, and it's something that we ask ourselves all the time, and that is, what defines you? In the midst of all the chaos, in the midst of all the darkness, in the midst of all the things that are going on, I think when we take the time out to evaluate ourselves and what our contributions are to what's going on in our society, in our community, within our families, and within our neighborhoods. And so the question is, what defines you? Who are you really? And what is your purpose? And these three major questions are things that we ask ourselves on a regular basis. But I think we really need to take the time out to do that more often. And so taking the time out to go inward. These questions forces us to go inward. We will not find the answers in money. We will not find the answers and status, even though we seek those things out. We will not find it in religion, although we practice it. But when I say looking at it from a spiritual point of view, where we have locked in to that connection with our faith, these questions require of us to go a little deeper in our spiritual practice. Whenever I take the time out to ask questions of others, and when I ask other people the same question, especially when I'm talking to people out in public, we immediately go to our roles. When we say, who are you? What defines you? Who are you? Oftentimes we define ourselves by our roles. We define ourselves by being a mother. So we'll say, I'm a mother. I'm a father. I'm a brother. I'm a sister. And so, or some of us are really close to our friends, right? So I'm a friend. I'm a good friend. But those things define us based on the dependence of others. We are identifying ourselves based on those in whom we serve and those in whom we have communication, right? And so sometimes it takes a minute before we realize, okay, wait a minute, yeah, why? Well, that's been my role since I've been here on this planet. I was of service or identified by those around me, my loved ones, my friends. Some, when I ask this question, they, for some reason, define themselves based on their environment, where I'm from, where I grew up, the city, the town, the setting. I'm from Harlem. I'm from Chicago. I, as if most people should understand what that means when you say, I'm from Harlem, I'm from Chicago, I'm from Boston. And so identifying ourselves, defining ourselves based on a place, based on a setting, based on the environment in which we have grown up. And so I just want you to think about this for a minute. If you take that all away, if you take away all the people that were in your life, those who you serve, your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your friends, if you remove all, strip yourself of all of that, strip yourself of your setting, your place of origin, the place in which you grew up, who are you really? Who are you really? For me, I can easily, now, there was a time I couldn't, but I have grown to this point in my life where I'm realizing, notice I said realizing, I'm just getting to that point where I'm realizing for me as to who I am as a being. As a human being, as a spiritual being, navigating through this life, it took me a while. All of the challenges and all of the obstacles, all of the rejection, all those things that caused me to become or to soon understand and realize who I am. Because we are all individually created to be, created to give, created to be creative. I'm going to say that because that is my nature. For me, I would say I am a creative being. Being creative is a strength that comes easily for me. Whether it be writing poetry, my love for the arts, be it fine arts or performative, my love for philosophy, social justice, human rights, these are all things that incite me, motivate me, and inspire me. I have recently come to this conclusion that when we sit still long enough in our quiet moments, it will be revealed. And this is why I value solitude, because solitude gives me energy. It stirs me up. It stirs up my spirit. I know that many of us have our practice, our spiritual practice, whether it's meditation and prayer. For some people, it's just a means of getting away and getting away from the crowd, getting away from the noise, and putting ourselves in a place where we can hear what is being said to us, how is it that we are being inspired, and how is it that we are listening to that which is being expounded upon to us as to what our intentions are. What is it that I've come to do? And so in this time and in this moment of chaos, it is really important that we take the time to do so. I know a few weeks ago I talked about self-care and we talked about all these different things that we do to take care of ourselves. But in the process of taking care of ourselves, our spiritual being needs that time in which we are to replenish and to refresh ourselves so that we can know and hear. So when I ask the question, what defines you? These are things that we need to sit down and really maybe just take the time out and write these things down. Take the time out and really sit quiet and figure these things out through prayer or meditation. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. I was a student of the arts. I started out in the arts, learning, basically studying the fine arts, as an artist, as a painter. And when I was in middle school, I was recommended to attend a summer program at Mass College of Art. At that time, it was Mass College of Art. It's not that anymore. But at Mass College of Art for like a summer, I spent a couple of weeks studying painting because that was my genre of the arts, was painting. And I was started out in oil painting, and then I moved more into acrylic painting. That was my medium. Was, you know, operating in with acrylics and pastels. Pastels, acrylics, and charcoal was the medium that I operated in. And so I started out with that. And so that was like that one summer where I was able to do that program. And my father paid for it because it was not free. And so that was a magical moment for me. And I loved it. I was like, oh man, this is it. So every day when I would go home, I would paint, I would draw, I would sketch, but my passion was more in painting. And then when I was in high school, I became a junior curator at the Museum of Fine Arts in Boston. And I loved it. I loved being at the museum. I expanded my skills. And my work was displayed in City Hall in Boston because I won the Boston Globe Scholastic Art Award that year. And so my work was on display downtown Boston at City Hall. And the one thing that I loved about the museum was taking up that space. I love being in that environment, taking up space in the hallways of the museum to sketch artifacts and studying different civilizations and cultures. And that impacted me. That experience impacted me in a great, great, great way. And so I'll never forget it. My mentor and teacher at the time was Miss Elaine Wong. And she said to me, Carla, you have a talent and you're gifted as an artist. And at that time, her suggestion to me was for me to go to art school and obtain a degree so that I could teach. And she said, you should become a teacher in the fine arts. And my response was, you know, teachers don't make money. And so I would have loved if she had said, become a curator. But at that time, during those days, I soon realized that at the time that there were not a lot of women, especially women of color, in that field of curatorship at the museum. And so, but I continued to sketch because that's what I love to do. I continued to paint. I've given a number of paintings away to friends and family. And I continued to study fine arts simply because of my love for it. And that love has not left me. It's still a part of me. And so I say all of this because, as I mentioned to you earlier, you know, what is it that defines you? What is it that inspires you? So if we were to take the time out and list at least three things, at least three things that define us. So in my case, I was saying the arts, right? The fine arts. I also mentioned writing, and for me, with regards to my writing, this is when I was writing poetry, and I still write poetry to this day. I've done some publications, and with the writing side of me, the poetry, the poetics, I was published in Essence Magazine, and with that being said, I'm just saying that when we connect to that which we are or what we have been brought here for, those doors and things start to shift and put us in the places that we need to be who we truly are. We're not dressing ourselves up to be something that we are not. And so I want you to take the time out and write these things down. Make a list of who you are. Who do you think you are? What is it? Who are you? And when you write that list, you will be amazed at what you discover of yourself. The second question I would like to pose, who can you help? Who do you believe? Who are the people you believe you are sent to help or be of service to? Because we are not sent here to be of service to ourselves. Although we are in this country, we are a very self-centered nation. Everything culturally is centered around I. Everything culturally is centered around the self. That's why we take selfies and we send those selfies to different people and we record ourselves and we're on TikTok, and social media has expanded that and given us that platform to be able to express what we want to express. So, But when we ask the question, who are the people you believe you are sent to help or be of service to? Who can you help? But we have been sent to engage with the world through our gifts and talents. That thing which you have been born to do, that thing in which you have been sent to do. And I believe it was Kobe Bryant that made the statement when he says, put it all on the floor. If you pay attention to some of these sports athletes, their whole thing is put it on the floor, put it all on the floor, leave it all on the field. And that statement is a very powerful statement. It means leave yourself empty. Have no regrets, knowing that you have put it all on the floor, that you have completed your task, that you have completed your mission. If you're an artist, if you're a musician, if you're a scientist, an inventor, public speaker, whatever it is that you have been gifted to do, do it. And in doing so, who are we helping? Because it's not for us to have or keep to ourselves. So when you line those things up with what defines you, and when you line those things up with who can you help, then you are actually fulfilling your mission. Because I deal with the public a lot, I believe for me, I've been sent to be a voice, to inspire, to encourage, to advocate. But let me tell you something. I didn't always know that. I was wandering through the wilderness, so to speak. I was wandering through the dark. I had no idea. I was very confused about, okay, what am I here for? What am I supposed to do? My gifts and talents were coming forth, but I didn't know how to handle that because I didn't know who I was. I didn't know. And then I soon realized, oh, this is why he sent me. This is why I'm here. In that process, we go through our pains, growing pains, I call them. We have oppositions, we have rejections. And I believe it was my aunt who told me one day, she says, honey, man's rejection is God's protection. That's my aunt who told me that. And I've discovered that, yeah, you know what, that's true. And so in finding out what is that defines you, who are you really, as being a spiritual being, having a natural experience, what is it that you have come to do? And when you discover what it is you have come to do, do it. And put it all on the floor. Leave it all on the floor. Leave this world with nothing left. And so I just want to say to you today, when you make that connection, making those connections, just taking that list and writing those things down and making this connection, you will discover your own integrity. You must embrace those things which are uncomfortable. Coming on the air for me 3-4 weeks ago was extreme, and it still is. I mean, I'm still learning. I'm still going through the process. Has been uncomfortable. But I soon realized this is not about me. So when we're being placed in a position or with people or in different environments that are uncomfortable, he's growing us. He's developing us. We're starting to grow. We're starting to develop. into that which we need to be or should be as we walk through this life. So you must be willing to be uncomfortable. I have been in so many other situations that push me to be uncomfortable. I have been put in situations where I had no choice but to lean on my faith. I've been put in situations where the rejection was unbearable. But I had to pick myself up and dust myself off so many times. And I began to understand that, oh, this is the process of me becoming what I need to be. I believe it was Michelle Obama. If you haven't read the book, but Michelle Obama has a book called Becoming. And what would you say to your 10-year-old self? What would you say to your 12-year-old self? And I sat down and actually did that little exercise for myself. What would I say to my 5-year-old self? What would I say to my 3-year-old self? And so what would I say to my 17, 18, 19-year-old self? And I have come to realize I would comfort my 3, 5, and 19-year-old self because I was in the process of becoming who I was created to do and to be. And so we should never, and the other thing that I've learned, and I hold this dear because this is something by divine order that I began to receive this revelation for myself, and that is never apologize for who you are. I had a tendency to apologize a lot, and then it hit me. Why are you apologizing? Never apologize for who you are. Embrace your uniqueness. You're not like anyone else, and there will never be another person like you. So when we are able to define who we are and understanding who we are, it'll be easy for us to embrace our uniqueness. It'll be easy to never apologize for who we are. The next question I have is, how do you want to service others? Because once you have this understanding and you create this list of what defines you, and then you have this understanding of, okay, who did I come to serve, and who is it that I'm being sent to help, to be of service, to help, to be inspirational, to be encouraging, what is it? Who is that? Then we will begin to understand how. So these rhetorical questions of what, who, and how. And these are elements that we use when we're talking about rhetoric or when we're talking about rhetorical situations. The rhetorical situation is purpose, audience, right? And in this case here, we're asking the who, what, when, and where questions. And so as I stated earlier, what defines you? Many of us don't know that. The second question is, who can you help? Who are the people you believe you are sent to help? And then the third question is how? How? How do you want to serve others with your gifts, with your talents, with your being? What did you come to do, and how are you going to do it? When we write these things down, and I'm only saying this because this is something I've had to do, and I've had to sit down and get with myself, be to myself, and ask these questions. And so here we are. I would have never thought to do and put myself out here to be on the air with you to share with you, to break bread with you at this time of the day and the evening on Block Talk Radio. I would have never thought of that. I'm very and highly appreciative because it's allowing me to use a different skill. It's allowing me to utilize what I've already developed from having been a professor and all of the things that have allowed me to develop as an individual and as a person. The other thing in our process of discovering ourselves is that we need to stop seeking the approval of people who do not desire your fellowship. That's a powerful statement, but that's what came to me. Because I sat there and I'm like, you know, why this? And then it's like, no, you need to stop. You're hurting yourself. You're wounding yourself over and over again. Stop seeking the approval of people who do not desire your fellowship, but appreciate those who do. Eliminate all negativity. This is even within ourselves. Oftentimes, in order for us to really be able to move forward in our gifts, and in order for us to move forward in our abilities and our talents, that which has already been placed inside you to do, that greatness, because all of us have greatness, is to eliminate all negativity. Starting with the thoughts, our thoughts. Starting with, you know, within the thoughts that we have within ourselves that we battle with when we are trying to be perfectionists, when we self-loathe, or when we condemn ourselves, or when we think we're not good enough. But you are more than enough. Everything that you need has been placed inside of you, so you are more than enough. And you must embrace that. And I've had to do that for myself every day. Every day. And so you must embrace yourself. You must accept yourself. You must love you, you must embrace you, you must accept you. You are more than enough. And so I go back to what I was saying to you about how I have come to this understanding and realization within my own life. Not too long ago, I want to say Monday, I was in this program and, you know, and I participated and did the presentations and so forth and so on. But the whole time that I was there, I was questioning myself, like, why am I here? You know, why do they want me? You know, I'm asking all, second guessing, something that we do all the time. Do you not know second guessing will hold you back? Because second guessing says you don't know who you are. Second guessing says, you have no clue as to, I mean, why are you doing that? So we need to stop second-guessing ourselves. Embrace what has been placed inside of you and utilize it. There are many who have no shame. Some have no shame. Some have no value, but they're out. They're going to do what they believe that they are capable of doing. And their intentions may not be of good intentions, right? But when we sit back and we hold back and not move forward, our self-confidence is eroded for whatever reason. Or maybe someone told you that you couldn't do it. Or maybe someone told you and tried to redefine you based on your past. Or maybe somebody said to you, okay, you know what, I think you need to do something else. And you know deep down in your heart that is not true. And so you move forward anyway. And even though you fail, but you get up and you keep trying. With perseverance, you move forward. And so understanding and defining who you are, understanding and knowing what it is you come to bring. And then last, how? How do I do this? So we have to be able to take chances. We have to be able to take a risk. People who take risks succeed. The risk may fail first and second and third and fourth, but they continue and they stay focused. And so I have learned for myself that it's important to do so, to carry on, to push through. This is who I am. This is what I bring. This is who I was created to be. This is what I was brought here to do. I know for some it's taken us a long time to get there, and for some it's caused us to, we've had to fight our way there. Some of us have had to eliminate the noise when someone tells you that's not who you are. That's why it's so important for you to know that. Because when you know that for sure, no one can take that away from you. When you know what you have in your hand, you won't be so free to give it away. When you know what you have been blessed with and the value, key word here, value of what that is, then you won't be afraid to share it because you know that it will be impactful, it will be helpful, it would be inspiring, it would be whether it's to advocate, whether it's to encourage, whatever that thing is, it will do that. Another aspect that I would like to bring out, because I know I talked about social justice and human rights and all, is that I've been involved with organizations such as United Way and Amnesty International and these different organizations, VBOC, Human Rights, when I was in Boston. Because of my involvement with those organizations, it's given me that passion for human rights, that passion for advocacy. And so my involvement has also, that was something that also triggered me in terms of what my interest, where my interest lay. What inspired me, what sparks me. And so, therefore, yes, I still have my interest and I'm still engaged with different nonprofits and different organizations, whether it's just me giving to that organization because of my time restraints or participating and supporting that. And so, once again, I ask the question, what defines you? What are you really here for? What is your purpose? Who did you come to serve? And how? Those three questions, who, what, and how. And so I have this poem that I would, because every week you guys will notice I'm bringing in the poem, or I'm bringing in a poet, or I'm bringing in something, whether it's a poem, whether it's a quote, or whether it's someone, or even my own work. But I have this poem, it's called The Image. And the poem is written by Fritz Ascher, A-S-H-E-R. And so in the poem, it starts out and it says, so I crouch in heavy silence, enchanted equals bewildered equals before my very self. I created you in the unspeaking night, refined, whipped by flame, pushed and pressed in deep necessity. You stand before me, a command. I look at you, my countenance, and listen to a distant eye. To grasp oneself is not but astonishment. In this way is a being, our being's capricious spirit. And this poem moved me in a great way, because that opening statement, before my own creation, I didn't read that part, but before my own creation, before my own creation, so I crouch in heavy silence, enchanted equals bewildered equals before my very self. I created you. In the unspeaking night, I knew you before you were even formed. I knew you before you were even conceived, right? I created you in the unspeaking night, refined, whipped by flame, pushed and pressed in deep necessity. You stand before me, a command. And the words, a distant eye. I am. I am this, I am that. As I mentioned earlier, when we define ourselves, we say, I am a mother, I am a father, I am a brother, sister, friend. I am. But once again, as I stated, that's defining oneself based on your role. Whereas when I say, I am a creative being, I am an advocate. I am. And then I ask the question again, okay, to whom? I am an inspiration to others. I am an advocate to others. I am a voice for others. I am. And then when we solidify it as to how. How are you that? I am that. When I speak, this is how I deliver it. This is how I deliver it through poetry. This is how I deliver it through teaching. This is how I deliver it. Because you must have a means to deliver it. And when we find that and we discover that and we place ourselves there, then we, of all people, will be most fulfilled. I have a tendency to speak out when I see that which is unjust. And I've always done it ever since I was a kid. You know, I was always intervening somehow. Never understood what that was, to intervene. Putting myself on the line and not realizing, why am I doing that? Well, now I understand why I did that, because that's part of who I am. I am an intercessor. I am an advocate. And so I put myself out there, people, to talk about what it is, what defines us, who we are, why we're here. And especially in these deep, dark times, we all need to step into our roles. And I hate to say that role, because that's so institutional. But you know what I mean. Again, we're stepping into our space, stepping into our ability, stepping into who it is that we've been created to be, stepping into what it is that we have come to do, fulfilling those things which are within us, so that when our time comes, we have nothing left. As a vessel, our vessel should be empty, not taking anything with us, because we put it all on the floor, as Kobe Bryant says. Put it all on the floor. And so I'm going to open up the phone lines. And if you guys have anything, or you want to make a comment, or you want to join in on this conversation briefly before we close, you can give us a call at 646-668-8217. And I would love to hear from you. And so let's see here. Who's here? Give me a call. Let's have this conversation. What defines you? What defines you? Who are you? What impacts have you made in your own community? What impacts have you made within your families? What impacts have you made in your companies and on your job? And as a business person, if you're in corporate, or as a teacher, if you're in education, or as an attorney, if you're in the legal profession, what gifts have you, and how have you brought these things to light? Okay, so I'm going to go with this. Let's go with this caller. Okay, caller.
Yes. Excellent program. Excellent content. Just excellent. It's something that I went through when I did the Saint and Nexus 30-day spiritual retreat. I went through something similar in terms of coming up with a definition of who I am. And then whenever I got to seminary, I went through something similar. And I was writing that you were going through. The answer to the first question is, what defines me? The spirit. I am a spirit in a human shell. In order to get to that point, you're right, you have to empty yourself, because self keeps trying to get involved and trying to tell you they're limited to some type of concrete, something that you could define by the five senses. But I have been transcendent. I have been able to transcend the five senses. You want to call it what they call out-of-body experience. Then if we get down to the who, people, I'm a spiritual guide. The titles, world titles, is a preacher, a bishop, and now an apostle, in terms of the spirit realm and how that rolls itself out. And the other one is who do I help? And that is, I have been called to work with the youth and the elderly. And people call me when I was, okay, the reason that I go back to this is I was told in 1990 that I was an apostle. And I couldn't understand that, because I wasn't in an institution that embraced that. And I became an apostle a couple of years ago. But what was spoken then in the spirit realm, and what people saw in the spirit realm, came to be in the natural. And people call me a metaphysicist when I was in seminary. And whenever you look up the definition, it's a being, knowing, substance, cause, identity, time, and space. Well, I've been through the identity, been through the time and space, been through the being. The creator and I have stood beyond time and space. So that time and space has little or nothing to do with who I am. The divine spirit is the one that put me in the time and the space. And whenever you look at it, I just went and looked it up. in terms of the world understanding of metaphysical. That is, realm of essence, the essence, what is it? That has been my struggle, my study. Matter, I looked at it from the Big Bang Theory, and I poo-pooed the Big Bang Theory because you can't transcend the five senses. Truth. I went through that in terms of what is truth. Truth is the word. So, and if the word is God, then truth is God. You don't find truth outside of God. And
yeah,
the spirit.
I got another caller here. I appreciate everything that you're saying. We got someone hanging in here, and we're about to be over.
don't worry about it. I will extend the time, keep it moving, because this is excellent.
Okay, go ahead. All right. What should I do? I can go ahead and let this person in?
No, you just, go ahead.
Okay, all right.
Time has been extended anyway.
Okay, caller. Hello? Yes.
Hi. Basically, I was just listening. We just came in from out of town, and I tried to just get something from the broadcasts that are on, no matter who's speaking, but there's always something positive that we all can get for ourselves and for other people also. I had issues, like I said real quick, I had issues with my own self, identity, my own identity and how I was to deal with other people, what was I to do for the next man in line, how was I to get in that particular position in order to be able to help the next man in line. Through the scriptures, searching the scriptures, and just separating from the world as much as I could, and you know, absorbing the scriptures and asking the Spirit to help me. And it's a gradual thing for me, not that I don't want to turn the world loose, but my physical being and my mental state, you know, they were just torn up. But God, he has helped me along to where I can help other people. Whatever was given to me through the Spirit, I can pass along to the next person in line. And I wouldn't consider myself as a teacher, but I'm just sharing what was given to me. And I've always been told I can't keep it unless I give it away. So that's how I look at things, you know. But God is good, and his word, we need to live by his word. And as we, from day to day, we learn something, we should learn something new, and we should grow some kind of way or other, you know. But it takes a person's, you know, they have to get into their own mind and say, wait a minute, something I'm going to do. Just like a person out in the world, the evil that's out there, person, they're going to tell them, well, this is something I'm going to do this. Well, we have to be the same way when we separate from the world, serving God, living in the kingdom. We have to just tell ourselves, I'm going to do this no matter what, and just apply ourselves. And we don't have to keep our mind on it 24/7. We just stay busy, and it will happen, and we can look back and say, oh, my God, look where the Lord has brought me from, you know. And it's truly a blessing. God is good. He's good. And I truly thank him. I thank him for your program. Like I said, we just come from not long ago.
Where are you calling from?
North Carolina. I'm Willie's brother.
No.
Apostle Armstrong, I'm his brother. Yeah.
I got the brothers on.
Okay. I also have a spiritual program through the week, and he's truly been a blessing also to allow others to share in this vision that God has given him. You know, like I said, we keep it unless we give it away, and we got to start somewhere. And
right.
for
that's
that person, person that has been given the opportunity to make the next step, you know, and for us to go to another level. We can't stay at the same level 24/7. We have to go to another level. But I enjoyed your show.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
yeah,
thank you. I'm new at it, so I'm learning as I go along, and I would say it's been a joy, it's been a pleasure, I appreciate the opportunity, and so it is giving me an opportunity to see, okay, is this where I want to go? Mm-hmm. Is this the direction in which I'm to go? So.
Great
thank
stuff.
You so much. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much, and thank you, Will. And so I guess our time is almost up. It's we're almost done here. And Willie, did you have anything else? Oh. I'm trying to get him back in. Is there anything else? I guess he's gone. Okay.
I haven't left yet.
Oh, okay.
Are you still there? I had it on mute.
Okay.
What I was saying is that I'd like to have a conversation with you offline. Because this program tonight, we need some workshops that's dealing with this. And also God placed in my spirit years ago, and not a think tank, but a group forming a group, what we call the African-American Spirituality, and begin to find and redefine things that... not based on what we heard other people say, because what we're dealing with right now and what we call Christianity is a Western European interpretation strictly out of Catholicism, and people don't take time to read the book for themselves. And if they would do church history, they would come into an understanding of what it is that we are saying, and you will find that it is not biblical. What they say about the Trinity, that's not biblical. That was done by the people in one of those councils. And what they say about Jesus is not biblical. They say that he is more divine than human. That was man's definition, and that's what's been passed down to us, and that's why. And then whenever you look at it, also they say that Jesus is God. Well, you look at the Roman and Greek definition of God, that then you understand how they created an image that looked like them and called it God. But so that's what I would like to have a conversation. If you don't mind, give me a call off the air, and we can see if that is something that the time is calling for, because of what's happening out in Memphis. People need something to give them some hope and comfort them, and they're not getting it out of the traditional Christianity.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, that's fine. I can give you a call when I get off.
All right.
Okay. Well, that wraps it up for me. Thank you. Thank you for those of you who are listening. And once again, hopefully we'll see you next week. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank
you. Peace and blessings.
Yes. Peace and blessings. Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom.